Good morning. It is good to see you, good to be with you. For those that are here, it's good to see you. For those that are joining us online, we're thankful for you and thankful to have a few moments to be together in this way, whatever way that might be, however that looks. And we can pray together for a little bit, sing together a little bit, and now have God's Word open and study and think together. And so I'm thankful for this time and thankful that that you're with us. It's an unusual time, to say the least, as has already been mentioned and certainly, you know, goes without saying. This might be a Thanksgiving holiday unlike maybe most of us, if not all of us, have ever experienced. I fully am aware of the fact that I'm spoiled. I know I'm spoiled. Many of you are spoiled also. I take a lot of things for granted. You probably take a lot of things for granted. I hope that you don't, but you probably do. I know, personally speaking, I would have never, ever dreamed that we would see a day where government officials and media-type personalities and different ones would actually discourage people from getting together for Thanksgiving, right? I never thought I would hear that. Don't go to someone's house. Don't go be with your family. Don't gather together for Thanksgiving. I never thought I'd hear that. But that's exactly where we are. That's exactly what we're hearing. And so in many ways, this is, you know, a Thanksgiving like never before. And so that saying something like that is what brings us to the core idea of what we want to think through this morning. Giving thanks when maybe you don't feel like giving thanks. The sentiment, what I've heard from a number of people personally, what I've read and seen from others, you know, far away from here, is that people are struggling to give thanks. They're struggling to be thankful right now. The year 2020 has literally become a punchline for jokes, hasn't it? Somebody does something that's bad, something unfortunate happens, and people will say, well, that is the most 2020 thing that could ever happen. That's so 2020. Because the year has become a punchline. So many can't wait till, you know, 2020 is in their rearview mirror and it's 2021 finally. Businesses have closed, jobs have been lost, other jobs are in danger of being lost. Many have gotten sick, many have passed away. Even more are lonely, can't get out, be rejuvenated, encouraged by family and friends. I read just recently, depression and suicide have really gone up. And so in light of that kind of a thing, and in light of what is happening, let me pause for just a moment before kind of continuing with this lesson. Let me say something to every single person here, especially young ones. You see all these people watching online. Do not think for a moment that you're not loved or cared for. Do not think for a moment that harming yourself in any kind of way helps matters. It doesn't help you, and it certainly leaves behind a wake of people behind you who care about you who will be hurt. There's hope, there's help, there's love. Do not consider taking that way out. If that's where you are, and many are, if that's where you are, reach out. Before harming, reach out. Call us. A number is going to be put on the board here in a few moments. That number is not just to say, I've sinned and I want to be forgiven. That number is to say, I need help in any kind of way. If you need help, there's help. So a lot of things have changed this year. A lot of things have changed this year. But other things haven't changed. I'm reminded of the fact that one thing that hasn't changed is the Lord and His love for us. That hasn't changed. Psalm 136, verse 1 begins this way. It says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His steadfast love," I hope you can finish that, "endures forever." Give thanks to the Lord, the God of gods. His steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. His steadfast love endures forever. That hasn't changed from the day that was penned by the psalmist to this minute. That has never changed. The Lord is worthy of being thanked and praised because His love does not end. It's inexhaustible. It's unending. Romans 8, verse 39, this is the way Paul would put it. "Neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." The Lord and His love for us has not changed. In our text today, which is Romans 5, verses 1 through 5. So I hope you have your Bibles open there to Romans 5. It takes us back to Abraham. The verses right before that in Romans 4, 16 through 25. It gives us a quick summary, a quick brief history of Abraham. And it tells us, if you're looking there at Romans 4, 16, 25, you're seeing there that there's this one that there's this man who's not just been struggling for a little while, not just from March to November, like us. Here's one who's been struggling for nearly a century. He's gone 100 years. Specifically, he's gone 25 years since being told, "You're going to have a child who's going to change the world." And 25 years go by and he's... Where's the promise? Where's the blessing? Where's the boy? He'd been struggling in such a way that from a human standpoint, I want you to see there in Romans 4, what Paul is highlighting as he's guided by the Holy Spirit, what you need to see there then in Romans 4 is that Abraham found himself in a place that from a human standpoint, he was hopeless. Can I say that one more time so you get the... From a human standpoint, he was hopeless. So how'd he handle it? How'd he deal with it? What was his attitude? Romans 4:19. He didn't weaken in faith when he considered his own body. When he looked at himself as just a mere flesh and blood human, considered his body, which was good as dead. He was 100 years old. Or even when he looked there to his wife, the love of his life, and saw her. Her womb is barren. Verse 20, no unbelief made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. How did he handle the humanly hopeless situation? Well, he continued to trust God. He knew God would keep his promises. He knew God would do what he had promised to do. He knew God not was only willing, but he was powerful enough to do what he promised to do. Now, when we suffer, and so that brings us then to chapter 5, those first five verses there. That's the background, that's the setting to get us to chapter 5. And what I want you to see here is that when we suffer, when we struggle to be thankful, when we find ourselves in a season where we are told, you're to be thankful, this is a time to express thanks, and you think, but I don't feel like it, what should we do? Because we know it's commanded. We know we're commanded to give thanks. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, it says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. We know it's commanded to give thanks. We even know that it's good for us to give thanks. Psalm 92, verse 1, it is good to give thanks to the Lord. So we know it's commanded, we know it's good, and yet it can still be difficult. So what can help us think through this? What can help us sort of process all this and think through this and get to a place where we're saying, I recognize. What do I have to do to be thankful even when I don't want to be thankful? Let's start this way. It starts, I would say, with the idea of being justified in the faith, knowing if we've been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, if we've been washed in the blood of the Lamb, as it says in Revelation chapter 7, verse 14, that there were those who had their robes dipped, immersed there into the blood of the Lamb, and when they brought those robes up, they were white as snow. He says in Romans 5, verse 1, therefore, since we've been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. In Romans 4, 25, he says that Jesus Christ was delivered up for our transgressions, delivered up for our trespasses. He was put on the cross and died because of our sins. He was delivered up for our trespasses. Then it continues and says, and he was raised for our justification. Christ died and was raised for us. Died for our sins, was raised up to give us hope. And so here's what you and I must do. We must participate with him in this. If we're united with Jesus Christ in his death, if we die to self, if we are buried and raised with him, like it says in Romans 6, 5, if we are buried with him and raised with him to new life, he divinely gives us new life. And did you see how simple that is, how that works out for us, practically speaking, what that means for you and me? Is that I recognize that I'm a sinner. I recognize that I cannot save myself. And I recognize that he's the one with the power. He's the one with the ability to change things for me. And so I die to self, turn away from my selfishness, turn to him to live. I admit that he is the Lord. I confess before others that he is the Lord. And I give myself into a burial, in a watery grave. And I'm raised up to a resurrection like his. And he gives me life. And then I can say, I have been justified by faith. Peace with God through my Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 5:1. And I can have peace because I know that I'm forgiven. Now, this is an objective reality. Let that sink in. It's an objective reality. It's not just a mere feeling. There is great feeling. There is great joy. There's great relief that comes from knowing I've been saved. Great relief that comes from knowing I've been forgiven. But this, when he says, I have peace with God, is saying, that means literally, you have peace with him now. It's an objective fact. Instead of being his enemy, Romans 5, verse 10, I've been brought into the fold. Instead of being his enemy, I'm part of his family. The sinner who hasn't been washed in the blood of the Lamb remains at war with God. And war is known for things like death and pain and fear, every type of ugliness. And that's why peace is so cherished. And so if I have been washed in the blood, even in my time of suffering, even when other things are so difficult and so hard and so ugly, if I've been justified by my Lord Jesus, I can be thankful that I'm saved. I can be thankful that salvation and life is mine thanks to the love and the power of Jesus Christ. So even in the midst of whatever else is going on, whatever other uncertainty, whatever darkness, whatever hardship, whatever other thing I'm going through, when I'm in that moment of not feeling thankful, whatever else it might be, I can say, I am saved. I can say, I have been forgiven. If I've been justified by faith, I can be thankful. And that's where this begins. This passage here in Romans 5 is going back to this man, Abraham, who, if others were looking at him, if other people just, you know, connected just under the sun, not thinking about forever, not thinking about God, his peers, his neighbors would have looked at him and said, what a miserable man. 25 years of waiting and nothing. Look how old you are. And he would have said, I've been justified by my God. I'm saved. You and I, right now, this minute, would say, because of the blood of Jesus, whatever else is happening, I'm thankful because I'm forgiven. Secondly, there's the idea of being thankful because we have access into the presence of God. Look at verse 2. Because after he says, since then we've been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And through him, it's through Jesus, that we have obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. Now, in a time of pandemic, we can be thankful that we still have access to the world around us and people around us and various other means, right? Technology. We're thankful for the technology we have that we enjoy, that we can still have time together, still have meetings together like this. We can still connect with each other, pray together, sing together, all of these things. Technology is wonderful, but it's no replacement for human contact, and we all know that. Clicking a like button is no replacement for a hug, and we know that's right. But having this technology remains a good stopgap. It's a good way to keep in touch with people, stay up on our schoolwork, keep working from home, whatever it might be. So we can be thankful that in spite of it all, we still have access to people, right? No matter how other cut off we are in other ways, we still have access to people and things we care about. And so we know what it means. I can have access. I can be connected to. I can see. But what we're seeing here is a whole other kind of access. As he says, through Jesus, we have access into what we might just call the throne room of grace. Because of Jesus, we have access to the Father. And because of Jesus, no matter what else is going on, because of Jesus, no matter how ugly things are, how dark things are, how difficult things are, we have access to the Father in heaven. In Ephesians 2:18, the Bible says, through Him, that's through Jesus, we have both access in one spirit to the Father. Philippians 4, beginning at verse 6, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. When we're struggling, specifically when we struggle to be thankful, we should turn to prayer, knowing we have access to the throne room of God because of Jesus. Pray to the Lord, help me be more thankful. Pray to the Lord, help me see, help me be aware of my blessings in spite of my pain. Pray to the Lord and say, help me to be more sensitive to the heartache and the pain of others. This may well be a good time to have an exercise in learning how to be thankful. How to look for the good. How to see blessings rather than being consumed by the pain. How to see blessings rather than being consumed by the ugliness that comes with suffering. That's why I think Job is a helpful example here. All of us are extremely familiar with Job chapter 1 and 2, right? Maybe you'll keep your hand here in Romans 5 and flip over to Job 1. Because I want you to recall a few things that happened here in Job 1. He's lost everything. All of his possessions, his children. In chapter 2, we read that he loses even his own health. But that first chapter is the one I want to think about for a moment. Loses, in my mind, he loses everything. What's he do? Look at Job 1, 20 through 22. Job 1, 20 to 22. It says, he mourned. Of course he mourned. He grieved. Of course he grieved. But he also gave thanks. Look at 21. The last line of 21, what Job said, blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, when God blesses people, what that means is if God blesses me, if God blesses you, that means he makes us better. When God blesses someone, he helps, he lifts up, he exalts. When God blesses, he helps. When man blesses God, it's different. You and I don't help God. You and I don't lift God up to a place that he wasn't in before, right? When people bless God, what they do is they express their thanks and praise to him. When people bless God, what they do is they give an exclamation of gratitude. When people bless God, they give an exclamation of admiration. And so when it says there in Job 1:21 that he said, blessed be the name of the Lord, he was giving thanks to God for who he was. And you know what he longed for after that, what Job wanted after that? He wanted an audience with God. In Job 19 at verse 26, he says, and after my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself. My eyes shall behold and not another. And then he said, in thinking about that, think about being in the presence of God, think about beholding God. He said, my heart faints within me. We have a blessing right here and right now, thanks to Jesus. We have access to the Father. Hebrews 4:16, let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So here's what you need to consider. When I know I'm to be giving thanks, even though I don't feel thankful, how can I do that? Be thankful that you have access to the throne of heaven. Be thankful you have access to the ear of God at any time. And so even in those days like Job's, when his reaction was to tear clothes and mourn, he gave thanks that he could come into the presence of God. And for you and me, it's the same. Because of Christ, we have access to the Father. And then thirdly, there's the idea here, you look at verse 2, Romans 5, verse 2. Through Him, it's through Jesus, we have attained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. We have hope. Verse 3, not only that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, endurance character, character produces hope. In a time of suffering, it's good to be able to look outside of ourselves, to look outside the window of our homes, and consider that there's more out there. My pain, which is real, is not the final word. There's more to come. And my pain, which is real, is not permanent. Romans 8:18, a blessing and a promise I go back to over and over and over again, to remind me, to instill in my heart, and to try and make it real in my brain and in the way that I feel and everything, to know this world is not all there is. Romans 8:18, Paul said, I reckon that the sufferings of this present world, which are real and hurt, and like Job calls you to want to tear your clothes and sit on the trash heap, the sufferings of this present world can't be compared to the glory which shall be revealed. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians 4. Verse 16, 2 Corinthians 4:16. So we do not lose heart. Even though things are hard, even though we're suffering, we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, the inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light, momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. As we look not to the things that are seen, but the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, here and gone. But the things that are unseen are eternal. For we know that if the tent that is our earthly home is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this tent, this body, we groan, longing to be put on our heavenly dwelling. If indeed by putting it on we may not be found naked. He says, for while we're in this tent, we groan, being burdened. Not that we'd be unclothed, but that we'd be further clothed, so that what's mortal may be swallowed up by life. He's talking about true life. He who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. We can give thanks that this world with its pain and its uncertainty is not all that there is. That's where it begins, that we have hope. Because we have recognition, the promise from God is that this is not all there is. We have hope that there's something else. We have hope that there is life with Him. We have hope that there is connection to be in His presence and behold the face of God forever and ever. And then here's the next part of hope for us here, is that the Lord says, look, here's why you have hope, because I'm telling you, I'm coming back. John 14, verse 3, that where I am, there you may be also. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 17, we'll meet the Lord in the air and then we'll always be with the Lord. He's coming back for us. And so even when we suffer, we can be thankful that there's coming a time when the pain will end and we'll be with our Lord. We have hope. The presence of God is going to be glorious beyond all description. And so whether we find ourselves in positions of Abraham or Job or just you and me, wherever we are, there's hope. Hope because of who Jesus is, what Jesus has done, what Jesus continues to do, and what Jesus will do in the future. There is hope. It's part of the reason why, as we said a moment ago, don't give up. There's hope. And that brings us to the final thing of why we can be thankful even in the middle of suffering. Why we can be thankful even when maybe we haven't felt like being thankful. Because the Lord offers us an opportunity to change. Read these verses one more time. Romans 5 at verse 3. Romans 5, 3, he says, not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings. Why, Paul? Why do you rejoice in suffering? What makes you the kind of person that can express thanksgiving even in a time of uncertainty? How can you express thanksgiving and be say that you're full of joy even when things are so hard? We rejoice in our sufferings because of this, knowing that suffering produces endurance. And endurance produces character. And character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out and into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that's been given to us. Because see, now a moment ago, we said, we have hope because of what the Lord is going to do. The Lord's coming back one day, right? So because He's coming back one day, we have hope. But some of you might be saying, well, what about this minute? What about as I sit here right now? What about as I sit at my house and I'm looking at this screen? What about right now? I need something good now. I need some hope right now. What about now? Well, he says here, what's happening now is that we should be changed. Should be changing from who we were to who the Lord seeks for us to be. There are to be changes here and now, and some of them arise, thankfully, due to suffering. Let's give thanks for the people that we've become because of the difficulties that we've endured. He says there's some changes that should be taking place right now. Look at the way he does this, this flow here beginning in verse 3. The suffering leads to the knowledge that we can endure. When you go through something that's terrible, in the moment, I know what so many of us have felt. We have felt that this is so hard and so heavy that I cannot do this. I cannot go on. I cannot endure. But he says that one of the things that is produced in patience and in long suffering is the knowledge that you can endure. Suffering leads to the knowledge that you can endure. And with that knowledge of having this newer, stronger, more virtuous character, with a life that's lived day to day now in a very real kind of hope, he says you change from the suffering person who needs help to being one who endures these things and can maybe help others endure. He says you should be changed now because of what you're going through. Because that's going to lead to a change that lasts forever. In 1 Corinthians 15 at verse 51, he says, we shall be changed. And here he's not talking about just virtuous character. Here he's talking about eternally, divinely, by God. In a moment we shall be changed. In the twinkle of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. So for the right here, right now change, we get to choose. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 10, is where Paul records what we refer to and what he referred to as the thorn in the flesh. Paul talks about this difficulty, this pain, this hardship that he was going through that again and again and again he asked the Lord to remove from him. Please remove this thorn in the flesh from me. Please take this trial. Please take this pain. And the Lord's answer was no. And he finally realized, you know what? This thorn in the flesh leads to my recognition that God is great. This thorn in the flesh leads to my recognition that I depend upon God for my being great. If I want to be anything, it's because He is everything. And if I want to be anything, it's because He's going to lift me up. He's going to exalt me. It's when I'm weak, knowing that He's the strong one, that's when I'm strong. In James chapter 1 at verse 12, the Bible says, blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life which God has promised to those who love Him. We choose. Shall we endure? Become people of character and people who live with hope every single day? Or shall I be bitter and stop? Paul said, I'm thankful for this time of trial. James said, go through this time of trial. The crown waits on the other side. Very quickly, I want you to recall with me the 10 lepers from Luke 17. We won't take time to read it all, but Luke 17, verses 11 through 19. Luke 17, 11 to 19. Remember this. There were 10 men who were lepers. They were, in many respects, I guess, similar to what we have to go through. You know what a leper had to do? Stay away from everybody else. What are we told to do? Stay away from everybody else. You know what a leper had to do? Cover their face. What do we got to do? Cover your face. Unclean, unclean, stay away. Jesus healed all 10. He said, you go show yourselves. As they went, it says, as they went, they were healed. We know only one, a Samaritan, came back. Among the things we learn from this are that the Lord expects gratitude. But more than that, I would say the Lord expects changed lives. The Lord expects us to give thanks like we never have before. Don't you know that that one man, the one that came back, because all 10 have been blessed, and just like this, everyone here, everyone that's watching, all of us have been blessed. All of us have gone through some time of suffering and come out on the other side. All of us have gone through something terrible and come out on the other side. All of us have. All of us have faced something where we deserve or are demanded to give thanks to God. So many of us even took that time, Lord, if you will just bless me, if you'll just see me through this, I will be fill in the blank. Lord, if you'll just see me through this time, I'll never fill in the blank. And then we are blessed. Great things happen. And what? Right back to that same old life. Right back to thinking, doing, being, speaking the same way as before. What about that promise you made to God? What are you talking about? What about this one man? This one who, when he had been healed, when he had been changed, he came back and fell before Jesus to express, I recognize what you did and I'm thankful for it. He was different now. That's what the Lord expects. He expects a different life. He expects changes in us. Just like it's being written about in Romans chapter 5, that after you've gone through something terrible and you've been blessed by God, on the other side there should be changes. The Lord expects us to give thanks like we never have before. This is a Thanksgiving holiday like we've never had. Well, we've been given an opportunity to give thanks like we never have before. Can you see through your suffering to give thanks? If there's any way that we can help you this morning, we want you to let us know. If there's any way that we can be a source of encouragement to you, we want you to let us know. If there's any way that we can connect you, not just to a family of God, but there's a way that we can connect you to Jesus, show you how to be faithful to Him. Show you how to be washed in His blood. Show you how to walk with Him. We want to help you with that. Sometimes you don't feel like giving thanks. But we know that we should, and we know that it is good for us. And we know, based upon what the Lord has revealed, that we can. Let us give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His steadfast love endures forever. If there's any way we can help you this morning, let us know while we stand and sing.
I will sing the